I'm Nina Jaffe, and now it's time to talk numbers with one of America's leading experts on the subject of teaching and learning mathematics, Marilyn Burns. And Marilyn Burns is on the phone with me right now. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Nina. How are you?
It's just wonderful to have you back on Teacher Radio for our second season.
It's fun to be back.
You may know Marilyn's work through the many projects of her company, Math Solutions, including books for teachers and kids, videos and audio cassettes, and professional development courses for teachers. Her latest project is a new series of books called Teaching Arithmetic, Lessons That Work for Grades 1 through 6, and it's published by Math Solutions. And Marilyn, I understand there are 10 books in the series?
Yes, there are 10 books planned for the series. 5 are out now, and the other 5 will be out over the next 2 years. They're very labor-intensive to do because we teach every lesson in classes with kids and in several classes, so these truly are lessons that have been tested.
Right. And I see from the books that I've looked over so far, you have consultants, teachers working with you who themselves are very experienced classroom teachers as the authors of these books.
Yes, and they're the same people who teach the Math Solutions in-service courses, and we've been working together for years. So I sometimes think that when we're working together on the books that we learn the most, and we hope that teachers will benefit from them
right.
as well.
Well, since your new series is about teaching arithmetic, let's start with that subject. I understand that you think there's a mismatch between real-life arithmetic that people really use and the way arithmetic is taught in schools. Can you explain or talk about this mismatch?
Yes, it occurred to me many years ago when I thought about arithmetic and the way I used arithmetic that it was very different from what I had learned in school and what I was actually teaching when I as a teacher in school. In a restaurant, I figure out a tip. What do? I do it in my head. Do I get an exact answer? Well, no, I'm not going to leave a $3.34 tip. I'm going to round it one way or another. And that started my thinking. When I grew up, my dad used to keep track of our gas mileage. And I know he used to do it in his head and jot down an about number, I guess, to decide whether or not he had to race to the garage and get some help. And then I started to think about discounts in stores. You sometimes see those signs, 10% discount taken at register. Most of the arithmetic I do in my real life, I do in my head. And more often than not, an estimate will suffice or even be better than an absolute accurate answer. And I think about what we do in school, and it's just the reverse. Mm. Everything is paper and pencil, and you always have to get the exact answer to be correct.
Right.
So there's the mismatch for me.
And so what's wrong with that mismatch for kids learning?
Well, I was interested. I went to a class not that long ago, and the children were studying about percent. So I said, well, what's 50% of 38? Mm. And half the class reached for a pencil. That, to me, was the reason why there's the mismatch is important. Children have not been encouraged to think mentally. They somehow think there's magic in doing it with a pencil and paper, and if you don't do it that way, it's not right. And I remember when I was taught algebra, you had to solve equations in a particular kind of way. It seemed silly to me because I had the answer, but the procedure was important. I think too often the kids get focused on the procedures rather than on making sense.
Mm-hmm. So in these books, are you helping teachers lead children to an ability to imagine and create conceptual kind of mental constructs for these computational skills?
Sure. The thing is, think about it. What do you think this might be? How do you think that might
right.
be? And then from there, we work from using the children's thinking to get to some more formal ways of representing their thinking.
But surely you aren't saying that children don't need to learn any math using paper and pencil.
Oh, no. In fact, even when I'm doing math mentally, I have a pencil and paper by my side to keep track. How much can you keep track of in your head when you're thinking stuff out? So here is the switch. Rather than using paper and pencil to follow these exact procedures and spend your time almost, what I worry about, mindlessly following the procedures, the purpose of paper and pencil is to keep track of your thinking. And therefore, the pencil and paper is essential because you don't want to keep everything in your head.
Right. In your teaching experience, which is vast in the teaching of mathematics, what do you see as the relationship between the kind of mental problem-solving skills or cognitive problem-solving skills and computational skills that are so often part of math and arithmetic lessons?
Boy, that's a good question because they're almost seen as opposite ends of a continuum.
Right.
And I think I felt that way maybe 15 years ago, but I think differently now. Problem-solving skills require that our kids can think and reason and make sense and therefore find solutions to problems. And then I said computation is exactly the same. We want them to think and reason about numbers, make sense of what they're doing, and find solutions that they can then justify and use for some purpose. The relationship, to me, they've become one and the same, and that's what we've been trying to do in the new teaching arithmetic books is make them one and the same. So you don't say, well, today we'll do problem solving and tomorrow we'll do computation.
Right. I know that this material is in the books and we'll be talking about it in future interviews with you, but can you give one example of what you mean by a problem solving skill or a problem solving situation, scenario?
Well, I think about numbers in context so that whatever computation a child does, there's a purpose for it. And the context can be something that comes up in the classroom. It can come from a children's book. It can come from any kind of situation in the world around us where numbers exist, rather than the numbers being always in black type on pages.
Right.
I heard Glenda Lappin, who was the former president of NCTM, talk about naked numbers, numbers out of context and isolated. That's what I'm trying to avoid as the major emphasis of children's learning.
Right. And so what, in a few words, would you say should the relationship actually be between problem-solving skills and computational skills, just to summarize?
I think problem-solving is really the vehicle to help children learn what they need to know about arithmetic and about computing. So I see it as the way that children get into making sense about numbers.
Right, and to get them inspired and motivated to want to learn those computational skills.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the next time we talk, Marilyn, we should focus on the pros and cons of a math curriculum focused on problem solving, as opposed to a curriculum focused strictly on computational skills. Are you ready for that?
Well, you're giving me my assignment. I'll get ready.
Okay. Marilyn, thank you very much. It's been great talking with you today.
Same here.
And congratulations on this new series that will be coming out. Marilyn Burns will be back soon on Teacher Radio. In the meantime, remember, you can find more math wisdom from Marilyn at her Math Solutions website, which is www.mathsolutions.com. You'll find information about all of her books and videos and about the Math Solutions workshops for teachers that are held across the country. And you'll get the latest news on Marilyn's new series of books, Teaching Arithmetic, Lessons That Work for Grades 1 through 6. The website address again is www.mathsolutions.com. Bye, Marilyn.
Bye-bye, Nina.
And I look forward to our next phone call.
So do I.